In the last 2 weeks, I've tapered off Ozempic completely, while Charlene has upped her dose to 1 milligram to stifle the food noise. Unexpectedly, I've lost some more weight and Charlene is battling through a plateau. We talk about my toxic relationship with food, which resembles that of a snapper turtle, my plan for continued weight loss post-Ozempic, and for the first time since starting Ozempic, Charlene got judged. Not cool. Welcome back to Ozempic Diaries. Hi, everyone. It's been a long time. 2 weeks, actually. I'm Jonathan Vanka, and I'm with...
Charlene Armstrong.
This is our first episode after a 2 week break instead of a 1 week break. And we have slowed down the cadence of the podcast because we've gotten past our first 3 months. And now we're extending out to the next 3 month project in which Charlene is maintaining and I am tapering off. I have, in fact, tapered off completely now. It's been 2 weeks. I took a 0.5 dose 2 weeks ago and a 0.25 dose last week. And now I didn't even take anything last night. So let's get into it. First of all, Charlene, how's it going? How's the last 2 weeks been?
It's been fine. I've been super busy just in my life. I've been getting to the gym, which I'm proud of because I always just deal with a lot of guilt if I don't get to the gym. But aside from the guilt, just my mental health is better when I move my body. You know, I feel like I'm making a difference to my own life. And because I'm premenopausal, I am so worried about muscle mass. And my mom has been going for some tests in the last 2 weeks. She suffers severe osteoporosis. And I'm, you know, I think of those things for my old age, genetics and that kind of thing. So if I don't go to the gym and then add to that, I am on a GLP-1, which is completely stigmatized for muscle mass loss. So, getting to the gym makes me feel like I'm ticking a good box and I'm making a difference. I've been focusing a lot on my protein intake. I've been making these delicious protein smoothies. And I've recently acquired a great new cookbook with recipes specifically to eat for menopause. So I've been trying to incorporate those recipes. So overall, those are positive things, I think, that's been happening for me.
Right. What are the cliff notes for eating for menopause? Is it like specific kinds of vitamins and minerals, or how does it work?
It's anti-inflammatory foods and sources of protein other than meat. So you can make like breakfast pancakes and use chickpeas in there, or like chuck lentils into certain meals, or and then also high fiber, high protein, and then also your recipes with like leafy green vegetables. So stuff that's high in antioxidants, fiber, and protein, quick, easy recipes. And then what the book does, it explains what the certain foods do for gut health and cortisol levels and, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's basically what it is. It's anything, it's the stuff you can Google. It's whatever you Google, it's the same old, fiber, protein, da 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 da. But it's clever ways to incorporate it. So say you're making a normal butternut or whatever soup, tiny little ingredients that you can add into it to up your fiber, up your protein, and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah, once again, I'll reiterate that if there is some kind of reincarnation, I'm going to double down on being a guy again. I've got life just sounds harder for women in many ways, but like menopause is definitely one of the big ones. So about the last 2 weeks, let's talk about that, right? One of those last 2 weeks was this insane public and school holidays scenario. Let's talk about in the context of the fact that I have lost 300 grams in 2 weeks. In that first week, I lost nothing. In fact, gained a little bit. And in the second week, I kind of struggled along. And then this morning, I was down to 88.8 after being on 89.1 2 weeks ago. So I've actually managed to lose a bit, which is great, because I was feeling a little bit bleak by the end of the 2 weeks that I was going to go up. But I had also post-rationalized it thusly. That week, 2 weeks ago of the holidays, it was... By the end of that week of constant childcare and being able to snatch a little bit of work time in between and kid getting bored and all that kind of thing, I was just solving all my problems with food and money. It was just, cool, let's go to a wine farm, to the markets, let's go to Spur and you can play there and we'll have dinner there or whatever it is. So there was just a lot of kind of tangential bad food that just happened around that. So I'll give myself a little bit of a pass on that. And then in this second week, kind of catching up after the school holiday thing, it was mostly okay. But then also Mother's Day hit yesterday, and it was obviously, you know, you're kind of constitutionally required to have a big lunch and have all the friends and family over. And yeah, just like a little bit too much socializing. But yes, I'm happy with 300 grams down. What's your story?
So I've been plateauing since I hit my, I was so happy when I was down to the 76.7 mark, because I feel like it's so close to 75, and I feel like that's, excuse me, I feel like that's a nice milestone. And I feel like from 75 to 70, it's like, it's only five to go. And then I'm like, I'm there. Where I want to be. That's where we live, you know, that's like where I want to be. But I just feel like it's doable. And for since, what is this, the 14th of 21st of April, since the 21st of April, we're now at the 12th of May. Yeah, I have been stuck at 76.7. Last week I weighed and I went up to 77. And then I was like, damn it, no. And I try to just put that out of my mind and not get too bleak about it. But when I weigh on my usual Monday morning weigh, I'm still this morning 76.7. So still 10.2 down from when I started. At least I'm not gaining. But I guess, yeah, maybe my body is just plateauing. And then I did last week and the week before, I took a 1 milligram dose. And I thought, okay, let's see what that does. And the reason I did that was because I'm tapering down on vaping, and I am feeling the cravings coming in. So I was like, let me go up to 1 milligram and see if I get some severe side effects. I'd rather take the side effects over cravings and run the risk of battling to give into those cravings and then derailing my progress in terms of the weight loss. But I'm still at the same place, even though I've had 1 milligram for 2 weeks. So last night I injected with my usual 0.5.
Okay. That's brave to then drop down after that.
I need to, so it's twofold also, because I have 4 months left on my prescription, and the pen will last me longer if I just do the 0.5 dosage as prescribed. So from a budget perspective, it wasn't making enough of a significant difference for me to be on the 1 milligram, because I wasn't, if I think about how little I felt like eating when I first started, I was expecting the 1 milligram to be that severe, when instead I felt very much the same. The cravings weren't really there, but I felt hungry, I had an appetite, and I could still just eat my usual small portions. And so in my mind, I weighed it up and I was like, is the extra money I'm going to have to spend because I'll go through my pens quicker, worth it? Or do I want to I'd rather lose less or slower, but have enough funds, because now I've budgeted for the 4 months. And if I'm on 0.5, one pen lasts me more than 1 month. So I can split my budget across 2 months, and then at least I will be able to sustain it. I'll hit my goal weight. There's no rush. I'm gonna hit it eventually, and then I'll work with my doctor on the plan from there, whether I taper down or whether I go back down on to a 0.25 milligram dose ongoing, specifically because I suffer from food noise. So yeah, that was kind of how I arrived at the decision.
Now that I'm on 0.25, I can tell you it does nothing after you've been on any other kind of dose. I think it really is just that introduction to semaglutide and managing the side effects and stuff. Like when you, I think a long-term maintenance dose will either be 0.5 or 1, you know. So my experience of the last 2 weeks tapering down is that hunger is definitely coming back. I'm actively feeling hungry. I can now tell the difference between being on Ozempic and not being on Ozempic, now that those two are contrasted. And what's interesting as well is that I've been thinking a lot about, you talk about food noise, and I've been trying to figure out, like, what is my relationship with food? What is the thing that's happening with me? Because it's not food noise. I don't, like, think constantly about it. My problem is that I unthinkingly eat. And I think I've nailed it down to that when I'm bored or not busy or any time during the day, I'll wander into the kitchen and I'll open the cupboard or the fridge. And I've gotten to the point now that rather than have turmoil, rather than have a conversation with myself about, like, oh, I'm not sure if I should eat this, I know this isn't on mission or whatever it is, rather than do that, my brain has figured out how to just shortcut that whole process, grab the thing, eat the thing. So it's kind of divorcing the punishment and the crime far enough away that that's my subconscious's strategy. What I think I need to do with my relationship with food is to try and make the feeling of being on mission and the feeling of doing the right thing be more powerful than the guilt of doing the wrong thing. So when I don't snack, when I don't have something bad, I want to stop and mindfully say, nice one, good job, you're on mission. Like, you should feel good about that, to the point that it's more pleasurable than, you know, stuffing half a mango in my face or whatever it might be.
What does that look like practically? So say, for example, you're unknowingly just like wandering over to the fridge. From a practical point of view, how are you implementing this?
What happens now is that I open the fridge and then let's say there's like half a piece of chicken schnitzel in there. I'll just not have the conversation with myself, grab it, eat it at a rate that you would not believe, like a gulper eel or some kind of like one of those, you know, when the whales come up out of the water with their mouths open and they're just like the dune sandwich. So there's not even any pleasure or mindfulness in the food. It's just like, because of the guilt, I just like gulp it and walk away. And there is a certain level of like, well, if I eat it quickly or if I don't taste it, then it's not as calorific.
Then it doesn't count. Yes.
And it doesn't count as much, right? So what I think I need to do is that when I open that fridge, I need to be able to take a moment to stop and go, okay, so now we're at the fridge. Standard practice now is that I have to have a glass of water before I take anything. And then I have to ask myself the question, is this on mission or off mission? Right. So is this protein and like cool, I worked out, and is this going to fit into the 1800-ish calories I need for the day? If so, rad. And what are we having for dinner and what's the rest of the plan and all that kind of thing. So there does have to be an actual internal conversation instead of just taking the thing. After a conversation with Kim, I think I'll solidify a better strategy. But essentially, this just needs to be like a stop, think, make a choice instead of mindless grabbing. You know, we'll see what that means, how that ends up. Maybe I should just put a whole bunch of glasses of water in the fridge. And before you can take anything, you have to take the water first, you know?
Yes, yes. Look, that makes so much sense to me because I know that some people I know have quit smoking in a similar way. Like it's the formation of habits over a period of time. And once you are rid of the like nicotine withdrawals or whatever, and that's like cleared out of your system, what you're left having to work on is the habits that you've built over a number of years. Because from my perspective at the moment with trying to wean off the vaping, it's not a thing where I'm like, I need to vape because I feel like I'm craving that nicotine as much as, or I'm raging, because irritability is a big thing also when you kind of try and come off of nicotine. And that's not the feeling I'm getting. It's habitual. It's the habit. And I've noticed how I've incorporated that habit in my life, or like I'll be banging away at a hell of a lot of admin. And I'll be like, oh, where's my vape? Because those two things go hand in hand. And a few years ago, someone I know was doing a quitting smoking program. And some of the methods they put in place was like, instead of holding the cigarette between your two fingers, you hold it between your pinky and the other finger. So you make the habit uncomfortable so that it doesn't feel so familiar. And every time you smoke, you obviously cut down. Every time you smoke, you're not allowed to go smoke with others. You have to isolate yourself and smoke alone, because smoking is quite a social thing. You know, when people work together, they're like, oh, let's go for a smoke. Let's go for a smoke break. So you change those habits and then you reduce them slowly but surely. First, you make yourself uncomfortable to break the habit. habit. And if you do that for long enough, you introduce a new healthier habit. And that's eventually how psychologically you're able to wean off of it, aside from the actual dependency, you
drug.
Know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The reason I asked was just because I'm sure that there might be listeners out there who suffer the same mindless habitual snacking, which I have food noise, and I have what you have as well. Like, I am a sucker for
vape
a
snacking.
leftover crumb chicken nugget or whatever in the fridge, and I'll just, it's small, I'll just eat it, and the minute I'm eating it, I'm like, I didn't need to eat this, but I'll quickly swallow it down, then it won't count.
Totally, yeah. I think the most popular culture reference for the smoking thing is when you have a lollipop instead of a cigarette, because it's like an oral fixation thing, like you're just used to doing that. But obviously,
I used to eat carrot sticks.
Carrot sticks, yeah. I used to just like,
oh, everyone's smoking, I'll have a carrot stick. I got so hot full of carrot sticks, but it was for that thing that you take to your mouth habit.
Yeah, I used to smoke Druivors. But you know, or at least pretend it was a cigarette or a cigar, but not that I've ever been like a proper smoker. It is interesting. We've asked in the community group actually about whether people, because we've definitely seen an effect on alcohol, like no doubt. We're getting a lot of responses from people saying, I don't want to drink as much. And I've almost completely stopped drinking. So that's a thing. But I'm very interested to find out whether the same is true about smoking and vaping. Off the cuff, you went up to 1 milligram to help stave off the vaping thing. Have you noticed an effect?
I definitely did help with cravings, because when you first start smoking less, you feel peckish. That's certainly always been my experience.
Mm. Sure.
And so it did help with the peckishness. Like, I'd feel like I need to snack on something constantly. I didn't have that snacking feeling, but I have certainly felt less like vaping. Like I remember before we'd go to an event that's an indoor event, there's obviously no smoking or whatever, and then it's much easier to just sit through the whole event, like go the whole day with no vaping, and then only once I get home in the evening, the vape's there, I'm chilling in front of the TV or whatever I'm doing, then here's my vape. And so I'm definitely doing a lot less of it, kind of similar to how you were describing alcohol. Like, it's there, I can have it. I don't necessarily feel for it. And when I do have it, it tastes different.
I wonder if just feeling full, just not having a hole in your stomach in any sense, stops you from wanting to fill that hole, right? So if your stomach is full, you don't want to drink because you're not thirsty, hungry. But I wonder if that extends, if that's kind of like a general purpose thing that extends into any kind of addictive behavior. Like, it could be vaping, nicotine, sex, drugs, whatever it might be. You're just less likely to take something if your stomach is full, you know? I wonder.
That's certainly how I feel about it. Because you just, it's like, for example, I used to be quite the party animal in my day. Like, and we'd go to a braai and you'd be like, now we're hardcore drinking, you know, like partying, and I'll have another dorp, I'll have a shooter, I'll have a whatever. And then I would remember the braai would be, the food would be ready, and they're like, okay, cool, time to eat. And I would like, I don't want to eat now, because if I feel full from my food, I'm not going to want to drink anymore. And I'm still having too much fun.
Right.
So I would like, and that's crazy for me, because I would always choose eating over most things in life, you know?
Totally.
But the minute you have your meal, straight after that, I don't feel like drinking anymore.
Yeah.
Because
you're
I'm too full.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in that state, you will overeat to the point that, like, drinking or eating any more, you're gonna feel sick. So those crazy days are mostly behind me, thank goodness. Beer pong and all
100%. I do not miss Charlene from back in the day. She was wild and crazy. One quick anecdote I wanted to share with our listeners is last week, for the first time since I've been on this journey, I got shamed for being on Ozempic. And it was, and I wanted to just tell the listeners, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'm sure most people keep their Ozempic journey private, unlike us. And it's for this very reason, because someone had asked me, just like, you've lost a lot of weight. Are you gymming like a mad person? Whatever. And I got into this discussion, not that I needed to qualify or quantify my reasoning, but I had mentioned that my doctor has put me on Ozempic. And without even caring to know, oh my God, are you okay? Or are you diabetic or what? No questions asked. The overwhelming response was just judgment. Oh my God, don't tell me you're on that stuff. Everyone's on this stuff. And it was just this like overwhelming, strong reaction. Now, granted, I have to also just say that I choose to listen to only certain people's opinions, and I was able to shake it off. But I did leave feeling regretful that I had shared that, because I felt judged, and I felt I had to like justify, like, not that I overly explained, but I was like, well, I've got a number of health concerns, and after a discussion with my doctor, this is the plan. To which they then backtracked and they were like, oh, well, at least you're working with a doctor. Because I was just about to say, people are just like, everyone's just obsessed with, and so negative. And I just wanted to say to our listeners, if that is, I understand if you keep it private, because this was my first ever experience with something like that, and it's not a nice feeling. As much as I'm thick-skinned and I can brush it off, I did leave there feeling some type of way. And secondly, people, haters gonna hate. They're just going to, and I have to also remind myself that people with strong reactions like that most often are just uneducated.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lie can run around the world before the truth puts its boots on. You know, the pace at which the misinformation and stigma travels is just far faster than proper science or research or anything like that. People still message me social media posts about going blind and, you know, muscle wastage and all that stuff. And I like
losing your hair.
Yeah, I still get enraged enough that I respond, you know, with like, hey, have a look at our episode about how all that muscle loss is related to quick weight loss. And if you don't have your protein and do your exercise, that's just going to happen no matter what you're taking. And diabetic retinopathy, and it's linked to the blindness thing, and no one else has an issue with that. So anyway, but yes, it is an insight, because my circle of friends have been very supportive, and I haven't been in that situation, because you were also talking to multiple people, right? It was like a group of people that you were speaking to. Yeah. I haven't yet randomly spoken to a large group of people and said, hey, I'm on Ozempic. I've done it at kids' parties. I've chatted to other parents, like on an individual basis. But yeah, for the listeners, it's definitely something to just keep your head above, you know? People are morons.
Yeah. Yeah, just take it from
the more people there
comes.
Are, the dumber they get. Like the IQ of a mob is equal to the IQ of the dumbest member divided by how many people are in that mob.
Yeah.
So just, yeah, let
that's
it go.
Our story, and we're sticking
be
to
like
it.
Be like Elsa and let it go. Yeah. Right. So hopefully we can slip back into our non-public holiday, non-school holiday habits, have a slightly less stressful next 2 weeks, where we can just kind of button things down and there's a little bit less chaos in our lives, get those habits all in line. So what's your focus going to be for the next 2 weeks now that you know, you got to break that plateau, you got to smash it?
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to break this bloody plateau. I'm going to just have to stick it out and trust the process. Stick to what I'm doing. I'm not consuming unhealthy things. I'm not binging on chocolate. I'm not eating pizza, pastas. I'm doing my usual thing. So at the moment, I'm just going to have to mentally condition myself to trust the process and keep going. Realistically, I could probably drink more water. I know I'm quite a good water drinker, but I think if I have to be critical, it's getting colder now in Johannesburg. And I think just realistically, unintentionally, I have not been drinking as much water. So I think maybe just focus on increasing my water to the levels that I'm used to. But more than that, I can't really do because I'm doing the things, you know. Yeah.
When it comes to the plateau and the last 2 weeks of like slow loss and then also a week of kind of like bouncing up a little bit, I'm also post-rationalizing it thusly. We've been losing weight for 3 months now, right? And we've been on this mission. So I'm kind of giving myself that buy for the last 2 weeks to say, it's good to take a deep breath before you plunge onward. You know, like your body will eventually fight you harder if you just push and push and push and push and push. So,
No, for sure.
So don't be too strict on yourself. Don't go overboard in the other direction. As you say, just trust the process.
It's a journey, you know, it is. I have to keep reminding myself that this isn't a race. There is no real end point other than, of course, the obvious of, okay, I've reached my goal weight. But there is beyond that still a maintenance lifestyle. So
yeah, this is just forever
there is
now.
There's no like switch that you flick it. Oh my God, I've arrived at the finish line. Hooray, I won this race. There is no end point here for me. This is your life and you're going to have to just be mindful that there's going to be ups and downs. And just like you explained with the school holidays or the public holidays and the life sometimes happens and you're going to fall out of routine and we're just going to have to give ourselves grace and be like, I'm still focused on my journey. And just always keep coming back to it and trusting the process.
Yeah, and I do think that in the June, July holidays that are coming up, one of the learnings we take out of that will be like learning to let go a little bit, knowing that if you get back on the horse, you'll lose that weight again. Like if you do pick up a couple of kilos over the school holidays, it's cool. As you say, it's a long-term thing. It's not like you suddenly have to crash diet. It'll just, you know, but it's easier to say that when you are closer to your goal weight and you pick up a couple of kilos, you're still wearing the clothes that make you feel good. You're not now bursting out of the clothes that you were wearing at the top end of your weight. You know, where I was at the point where it's like, I have to buy new clothes now. I feel disgusting. Whereas now at 89, I actually, like, I feel good enough that I'm not too stressed about it. Like I feel healthy enough that I'm not like having anxiety about the speed at which I lose weight. Or if I, you know, 2 weeks I come back and I've gained 2 kilos, I'm going to be a stress ball. But let's hope that doesn't happen. My next 2 weeks are just going to be focusing on habits, focusing on routine, and because I know exactly what I need to eat. All I have to do is stop, look, and listen when I get to that cupboard. Okay, well, have a great 2 weeks and we'll catch up again.
Okay, cheers. Good luck to you.